Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, October 20th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here today. Did you watch any TV last night? OMG. I had a good time watching that last of the presidential debates between President Hillary Clinton and Trump. I'm just going to call it now, folks. This guy, oh my God, he has totally sunk himself. It seemed to me like in the first half hour of the debate, he was sedated, right? They got him on something. They put the elephant tranquilizer dart on him or something. And then after that, he just kind of went back off the rails. And we're going to talk more about that coming up at the end of this first hour in the Radical Rant. I've got some responses to my post. I've got a post up on weednews.co that announces the Russ Belville write-in campaign for president. And that's because I figure if you want to throw away your vote on a pro-marijuana protest, why not pick me? I'm as good as any of the rest of them. So I'm getting some responses to that. I'm going to respond to that in the Radical Rant today. Also, my characterizations of Jill Stein have gotten some criticism. So I'll address that as well. And we'll also cover some of the new revelations that the unbelievable Tom Angel is getting out of the WikiLeaks hacks. So we'll take a look at that. We'll put it all together in kind of a potpourri today in the Radical Rant. Also coming up on the show today, it's Thursday, so every other Thursday we either talk about marijuana growing or we talk about law enforcement. And today is that law enforcement day. Our guest will be retired Sheriff David Lanois from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and he's in Massachusetts, so we'll talk a little bit about question four out there and some of the opposition from law enforcement, not only there, but all across the country. Also on the show today, we'll have a chance to do some drug war data mining. There's a new study out. I saw this posted up on Medscape and some other outlets that claims that marijuana legalization or medical marijuana reform leads to more high school dropouts. We'll take a look at that study and poke some holes in it when we get to drug war data mining. Before that, we've got our Behind the Headlines segment. We'll take a cannabis-focused look at another amendment that's being voted on that technically has nothing to do with marijuana. It's in Colorado, but it's a sneaky little amendment and very, very harmful to the process of citizen democracy. We'll give you a heads up on that coming up right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the news today, there's finally an ad out opposing Arkansas Issue 6 and 7. They've got some money now, and their new ad is out. We'll run that by you at the top of the news. Also, we've got a new record set in California when it comes to campaign financing, and of course, Prop 64 is a big part of that. We've got a rundown of all the business opponents in Arizona who are against Proposition 205 there, and a call from Arizona's legalization community for boycotts of these companies. We'll run that down for you. We've also got an update on a story we brought you a half a year ago on a massacre in Ohio that occurred at an alleged cartel grow. We'll show you what's going on there. And we've got charges being filed in Manhattan, or in the Bronx, excuse me, on these grow that blew up and killed a fire battalion chief. That's all coming up in the Cannabis Radio News. And then in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, we'll take your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. Almost said the old number. 650-534-2565. I got some other stories to run down in hour two, including a look at new science on the cannabinoid receptor system, and we've got more on the Amendment 71.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You're going to find really wonderful, well-meaning, well-spoken people, and then people that are just batshit crazy.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, October 20th, 2016. Opponents of medical marijuana initiatives in Arkansas launched a TV ad Wednesday claiming competing proposals on the November ballot would lead to drug abuse, while two state law enforcement agencies said they'd need funding increases if the drug is legalized. Arkansans Against Legalized Marijuana, a coalition of groups opposed to the medical pot proposals, said it's spending about $50,000 to air the 32nd spot statewide over the next week. This is the spot.
This is a cow, this is a great deal, and this is medicine? Mislabeling something doesn't change what it really is. However, there are compounds within marijuana that could potentially be used to help patients with seizures. But this, it's just drug abuse, and it's not medicine. Get the law right, and many of us will support it. Until then, don't buy the big lie. Vote against legalizing marijuana. Vote no on issues 6 and 7.
Political donors have spent a record $450 million on 17 statewide November ballot initiatives in California, beating the state's own record for the most spent on propositions appearing on state ballots in a single year, campaign reports filed Thursday show. The fundraising has soared at least $12 million past California's previous record, when $438 million was spent on campaigns for and against 21 measures on the 2008 ballot. With inflation, fundraising in 2008 would be worth at least $490 million today. Two of the biggest individual donors are Republican Charles Munger Jr., who has contributed more than $10 million to support Proposition 54, seeking greater legislative transparency, and Napster founder Sean Parker, who's given about $7 million supporting the effort to legalize and tax recreational marijuana, Proposition 64. Scottsdale-based Discount Tire has donated $1 million to oppose marijuana legalization in Arizona, leading to supporters' call for a boycott. The company joins Phoenix-based drug manufacturer Insys Therapeutics, which has contributed a $500,000 as well. Quote, Here we have one natural substance that's never taken a life, and they are taking money from the makers of someone who makes opioids. We're all beside ourselves, and that's why we're calling for a boycott, end quote, said Kathy Inman, executive director of Mom Force Arizona and a Prop 205 supporter, adding, quote, I'm sure Discount Tire is doing this as an advertising mechanism in Arizona to look like the good guys, like they're anti-drug, end quote. The Arizona Chamber of Commerce has also donated over $500,000. They are joined by Empire Southwest, a heavy machinery company based in Mesa that donated $200,000, and SAM Action, Kevin Sabet's anti-legalization nonprofit, which donated $115,000. 6 months after someone shot eight members of an extended family to death in their homes, surviving relatives are still waiting for an explanation, for an arrest, or for a hint of closure. Most of the victims were shot multiple times in the head, and in the case of Christopher Roden Sr., in his upper body and torso as well. Some bodies showed sign of bruising as if they'd been beating. Early on, authorities disclosed a large-scale illegal marijuana growing operation at one of the crime scenes and said pot was being cultivated at some of the other homes too, leading to suggestions Mexican cartels might have been involved. Large marijuana operations are common in southern Ohio. Investigators in 2012 said the seizure of about 1,200 plants in Pike County could be related to a Mexican drug cartel. Prosecutors say two men have been indicted on assault charges in connection with an explosion at a marijuana grow house in the Bronx that killed a fire battalion chief. 32-year-old Garibaldi Castillo of Manhattan and 34-year-old Julio Salcedo of the Bronx were arraigned Wednesday. They were also charged with marijuana possession. Castillo's attorney says his client didn't cause the explosion. A message left with Salcedo's attorney wasn't immediately returned. 17-year fire department veteran Michael Fahey died in late September after being hit by debris from the explosion while responding to a report of a gas leak at the house. Authorities say the two men were growing marijuana. They say investigators at the scene found numerous marijuana plants, as well as heaters, fertilizers, and tanks of helium. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, October 20th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
I served 8 years. I did three combat tours in the Marine Corps. A lot was given up to earn that, you know? They determined I had PTSD. I found myself in the closet with a shotgun in my mouth. That's when my wife really took the stand of no more of these medications. We have to find a better way. I turned to marijuana and it saved me. That's why I support Prop 205. Help veterans just like me.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at a different initiative on the ballot this year, and this one's in Colorado. And one of my goals with this show, in general, has been to expand the political consciousness of the marijuana community. We're oftentimes focused on the marijuana initiative or the medical marijuana regulation and fail to take into account the other aspects of the political process that aren't directly connected to the marijuana movement, but they do have a big impact
on how we can proceed. This amendment in Colorado is notable. It's among a bunch of other amendments. For example, they've got an amendment in Colorado to create a universal healthcare system in the state. They've got an amendment for legal suicide for terminally ill people, you know, physician-assisted suicide like we have here in the Pacific Northwest. And this is just one of the 24 states in this country that have this power of the citizen initiative. And this is a very, very precious power. Every state should have it. It's a shame that we have more than half of our states that don't have it. But as we know, even when something can become very politically popular, like medical marijuana or now legalization with 60% support, it doesn't necessarily mean the politicians will get behind it. So with the citizen initiative power, we can move forward. And we can bypass our politicians when they're too slow or ignorant to recognize the way the wind is blowing, and we can change these laws. In fact, that's how we got legalization. That's how we got medical marijuana in the first place, through the citizen initiative. Now, you'll remember in the 2014 election with Florida, they had medical marijuana on the ballot, and it got 58% of the vote, but it didn't win. And the reason why is because in Florida, you need 60% of the vote to amend the Constitution. And that's the only option they have. They don't have statutory initiatives. They have to go for a constitutional amendment. And that 60% is a very high bar to clear. That's not the way their Florida Constitution was originally written, however. That 60% hurdle was created by a ballot initiative. A constitutional amendment was added to make it harder to amend the Constitution. That, my friends, is what's going on now in Colorado. They've got this Amendment 71 that is on the ballot in Colorado. And what it would do, it's backed by a group called Raise the Bar. And what this amendment would do is require that any future initiative has to get 55% of the vote. Not just 50%, but 55%. It also involves one of those, invokes one of those geographical minimum type of situations where it's not enough just to get a certain number of signatures, but you have to get a certain number of signatures from a certain number of places. This is done to thwart the signature gathering process. They've got a similar thing in Idaho. You have to get like 8% from at least 6 of the districts, and Michigan's got something like that. There's a bunch of them where they just make it harder. They realize that if the signature gatherers can go to the big city, Boise, Denver, Lansing, wherever it might be, they can go to the big city and get a whole bunch of signatures and be able to get something on the ballot. So the legislatures, or in these initiatives here, they add these things where, yo, you can't just go to the one city. You have to go to every county or every district, and you have to get a minimum from each one of those. Both of these things, the signature gathering thing and the 55% passage requirement, are just going to make it that much more difficult to pass a citizen initiative. In fact, Colorado, one of the first states to have ever, I think the first state to have allowed women the vote, but I think that was Wyoming. But regardless, Colorado was one of the first ones. Back in 1893, women in Colorado got the right to vote. That was, 22 years before it happened nationwide? That initiative passed with 54.7% of the vote. If that 55% bar had been there, women wouldn't have gotten the right to vote. The district thing, they've got to get signatures in 35 districts. So what this does is it makes it so much harder for people to get something on the ballot, because you got to pay more expense for the signature gathering to be able to even make the ballot. And all that does is it puts the initiative process solely in the hands of those who can afford it, more so than it already is. I mean, it already costs a lot of money to pass an initiative, but now it's even more disconnected from the people and given to the rich and powerful interests there. And the campaigns against this are so disingenuous, trying to say, oh, we need to make sure. Governor Hickenlooper was saying, this will protect the Constitution from being subject to the whims of the day. The whims of the day, as if going out and trying to raise money, collect a bunch of signatures, and get half of the state's voters to agree with you is some sort of passing flight of fancy. As if that's, I know, let's just do this and it'll just happen, like we snap our fingers. No, this takes work and convincing people and earning their votes. Anybody who would vote for this Amendment 71, is someone who's voting for the end of citizen democracy.
Well, everybody does that.
Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Funny to think that she grew up to be the blonde lady on 30 Rock. Jane Krasinski. Yes, that's her. Hey, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Remember, my Colorado friends, vote no on that Amendment 71. Don't make it harder for the citizens to change the laws. Hell, we should be passing initiatives and laws to get the initiative power to everybody.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now about a game for your phone. Gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at a report, a study that was reported, I should say, by Medscape. The headline reads, "Legalized Marijuana Boosts High School Dropout Rates." Oh no, if we stop throwing adults in prison for pot, kids might drop out of high school. Well, that's convinced me. I guess we need to keep incarcerating people. I guess we need to keep locking them up. Wouldn't want a few more kids to drop out of school. Let's take a deeper look at this. It was published online October 11th in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. And they were studying the impact of laws that legalize marijuana on the educational attainment in states that had those laws, and what would happen to high school dropout rate among 12th graders. Now, the lead author of this study, Andrew Plunk, is from Eastern Virginia Medical School. He says, quote, "More than anything, what we have done is provided good, solid evidence that there is a direct link between marijuana policies and education. With these policy changes, we need to be mindful about how young people might view marijuana. As it becomes approved for medicinal indications, are kids going to be viewing it as less risky? This is not to say that there are not legitimate reasons for medical marijuana and also decriminalization. But just because we allow medical marijuana and if we do decriminalize it, that doesn't mean that there are not also negative consequences associated with marijuana use. Alcohol is legal, and we know that there are tons of negative things that can happen to people who abuse alcohol. Cigarettes are legal to buy, and smoking is one of the worst things you can do for your health. So we need to have a dialogue with our kids about these dangers and pitfalls. End quote. So, first of all, he's talking about, they're not necessarily talking about marijuana legalization, because he's using the data sets of the U.S. Census and the American Community Survey for the years 1990 through 2012. Nobody had yet legalized marijuana by 2012. Happened in November 6th of 2012. And the month after that, it was December 6th before it became actually legal to possess. And I think that was Washington, it became legal first. And then shortly after, like the 9th or something, Hickenlooper signed, and then it was legal there. So you can't count 1 month of December 2012, or a little less than a month, right? So this is just looking at the medical marijuana states. So what they did, they had over 5.4 million high schoolers that they looked at from 1990 through 2012. And they took a look at their educational attainment for the people aged 14 to 18 who were also exposed to medical marijuana by virtue of living in states with those medical marijuana laws. And then they compared them to the states that did not have the medical marijuana laws. And what they wanted to see was, what was the chance that it affected getting a diploma after 12th grade, starting college but not getting a degree, or not obtaining any degree after having begun college? And what they found was that exposure to medical marijuana laws was associated with a 0.4 percentage point increase in the probability of failing to get a high school diploma or GED. Woo, went up by 0.4. My goodness, a whole 0.4. They also said the medical marijuana laws was linked to a 1.84 percentage point increase in the probability of not enrolling in college and a 0.85 percentage point increase in the probability of not getting a college degree. They say the impact was not immediately. So if the policy happened, if the medical marijuana came when they were 13 or 14, there was a delayed impact. That's right, a delayed impact. Your state passed it when you were 14, and that didn't make you drop out immediately. You didn't drop out until 4 or 5 years later. Now, here's some of the problems with this study. And we'll talk about this with Dr. Mitch. The first big problem is, once again, these states are not randomly selected. Okay? We got states that have higher use of marijuana, generally speaking, when we're talking about the medical marijuana states, the first medical marijuana states. We're talking about states that have a higher Democratic rule or Democratic concentration than Republicans. We're talking about states that have more urban areas than, say, a Texas or an Iowa. Okay? So there are a lot of confounding variables that we're dealing with here, and we're not able to randomly assign one set of states to be medical and another set of states to not be medical. Another problem that we've got with this is that we're comparing these rates without the consideration of how marijuana itself might affect these rates. Some of these people, aged 14 to 18, might indeed be medical marijuana patients. And if they are, their use of marijuana can disqualify them for all sorts of educational help, grants, scholarships, financial aid. And that can have a detrimental impact on the rate of whether or not you finish your college degree. Getting caught with the weed that is legal for you to use medically, say if you're a 19-year-old college freshman at UCLA or something, can get you kicked out of school. So it doesn't account for that sort of situation. And we'll dig more into this with Dr. Mitch. For me, there is a big problem with any sort of these issues. First of all, the chance that they would not yet a GED or a diploma went from 3.99% to 4.39%. So we're still talking about it. A low chance that this happens. The increase from the not enrolling in college went from 31.12 to 32.96. The not getting a degree went from 45.3 to 46.15. These are small changes that could be linked to all sorts of things other than the adoption of a medical marijuana law. But overall, for me, the big problem, whether or not people go to get their degree is not reason enough to lock people up over a plant. Even if harms increase, you have to weigh that against the harms of the prohibition that exists.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
Raising money for our schools isn't the only reason to regulate and tax marijuana, but it's a good reason.
Being a mother of a special needs child, I know that there's financial deficiencies in our school.
Schools need every dollar they can get.
Regulating and taxing marijuana would generate tens of millions of dollars for Arizona schools.
I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother,
and I'm a public school teacher.
And I'm voting yes on Prop 205. It's time to regulate and tax marijuana like alcohol in Arizona.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody, for our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. Been trying to get David Lanois on the line, and he's answering, but then hangs up. So I'm not sure that he understands what's going on as far as us having a interview today. So instead, I'll just bring you one of our previous interviews with Lenny Freeling from Colorado, longtime marijuana activist with Normal and Colorado Normal, and a judge, and has a lot of experience in this area. So let's hear from our good friend, Lenny Freeling.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 33 after the hour, and normally we do this segment on Thursday, but we missed our good friend Lenny Freeling because I messed up on my end, Lenny. It's all my fault. Welcome back to the show, Lenny.
Russ, as always, it is a pleasure. I'm glad we're both here.
I am too. And it's a beautiful Friday here. And we are, as of today, 60 days away from Marijuana Election Night 2016. I know, of course, Denver's got the social use initiative going, but are there other issues going on in Colorado we ought to know about?
So many that they're beyond counting. And that in and of itself is the issue. In addition to the social use, which is such a critical issue, whether I am driving to Durango, 8-hour drive, and want to smoke in a legal place or vape in a legal place, or whether it's one of the tourists that we welcome, the social use is the beginning of a very important legislative trend. The other thing that is a day-by-day struggle is the sorting out of the layers. We have our Constitution. We have Section 18, Article 18, Section 14, 18, 14. We took a little trip since year 2000. Then your age is showing when you laugh
yes,
at that.
Yes, I know.
and then in 2013, it became recreational law with Amendment 64, which is now Article 18, Section 16. So we have the Constitution. When you have that, the next level of law is enabling legislation. And that does stuff like set up study committees and interested groups. And then they figure out what laws we really need. Then the regulatory agencies who are tasked by the law with enforcing it and setting up the systems have their regulations. Then, because that's not nearly complicated enough, then we have every single city in Colorado, few still taking no position, some home rule cities with more power than cities anywhere in the United States, some not home rule cities, and then, because that's not complicated enough to have city regulations and city criminal ordinances carrying $2,650 and a year in jail maximum penalties, with the claims by some of these cities that they can fine somebody $2,650 a day and a year in jail per plant over what the city says. And, oh, yes, by the way, every city picks a different number, which most of the time contradicts the state and the Constitution, state constitution. And, oh, as an aside, as we all recall, now I think we're on the fourth aside, we have the federal law, and we can talk about that sometime. We all know what the challenge is there. So we've got this multi-layered thing where I may get a call that is simply somebody asking, can I grow 18 plants in Lock Bowie, Colorado, at the Kansas border in my basement? And if I could give them an answer, yes, no, I would do it. If only. Yeah. And when I tell them what effort is involved and that they have to pay me to give them a yes or no on what the state constitution sure sounds like it says they can do, we have layers of problems. And when I honestly put to people, you have a choice. Follow your city's unique regulation ordinance or risk paying money or jail. Usually it's money, not jail. Or become a test case. And
this has got to be so difficult for Coloradoans to have to deal with, because, I mean, I grew up in Idaho, and when it came to booze, there's only one thing you had to remember county to county was what was the closing time or did they sell on Sunday? And that was about it. That was the only, there wasn't, you know, I couldn't like not have this kind of booze in Ada County, but this other kind of booze in Canyon County, or limits on a 6-pack there versus a 12-pack there. How are Coloradoans dealing with this? And are a lot of them getting caught up in the system because of it?
Colorado is dealing with it overall, let's be clear, Colorado is doing a kick-ass job. And I think the FCC allows me to describe that body part in that way. Colorado really is. On a city-by-city level, the kind of things that troubled me the most, a city ordinance that says your top secret, protected by the Constitution, secret, private, medical, grow in your basement. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's illegal in our city for you to not register your private secret grow with us. And, of course, that gives us permission to inspect it anytime we want, to send in the electrical inspector. And look, I'm in favor of electricity being done to code. That makes sense. I can't fundamentally fight with somebody who needs an electrical inspection. But to say you have no right to privacy guaranteed by the Constitution, our system statewide is so careful that the computer that holds the medical marijuana registry information is not, unless they've changed it, is not connected to the internet. There's nothing to hack.
Yeah, that's great. And another issue that I think is probably on a lot of Coloradoans' minds is the recent pronouncement. Now, this was out of the Ninth Circuit, so I know it doesn't cover Colorado, but that pronouncement about medical marijuana patients and their Second Amendment gun rights. Is anyone talking about that in Colorado?
We're talking about it long and loud. And what is fascinating about the ruling and what is so blatantly federally unconstitutional is this. They could say you can't possess a firearm while you're impaired. And in fact, that wouldn't be a bad law. But they're in effect saying the same as if they said, if you are over 21, therefore legally able to buy alcohol, therefore legally able to drink to excess and commit a class 2 misdemeanor, we call it drunk with a gun, therefore, because you're over 21, we're going to make that a status offense and nobody under 21 can purchase a gun. That's identical to saying because someone has a medical card, A, they will fill that, they will go buy pot. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. They have a card. They have permission. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. If they do, maybe they'll smoke too much. Maybe they then pull out a firearm. Guess what? That's already illegal. So the Ninth Circuit is the Ninth Circuit, which is not a circuit we generally hate, is just an embarrassment with this decision. Mm-hmm. It's atrocious. It is intellectually dishonest, and that's one of the greatest insults I am capable of. Intellectually dishonest. Mm.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of response here in the state of Oregon. We have a lot of people in the rural areas that treasure their Second Amendment rights. And I know in Colorado, didn't you have... like there was a three or four legislators who went down in recalls because of Second Amendment issues. Is this igniting any sort of political will amongst the typical conservative gun rights supporters to come around on this marijuana issue?
Because it was a private communication, I don't feel comfortable divulging my source. But I will tell you, the single most conservative gun rights advocate in the country and one of the top in the world agreed with me on my analysis, reworded it, sent it out to his private firearms trained teachers internationally, quoting 99% of what I wrote to him, explaining why this is insane. So I can give you at least one concrete example of a rabid Second Amendment supporter saying, they can't do that. That's wrong. That is just wrong. So the feedback I've heard so far is completely against the Ninth Circuit. That's from smokers. That's from non-smokers. That's from people who hate marijuana. People are looking at it and saying, you can't do that. You simply can't do that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the people who aren't saying that right now seem to be the National Rifle Association, which hasn't responded to numerous activists and journalists' requests on this issue. And it always stymies me because one of the scaremongering tactics they've always said is that if the federal government registered guns, it'd be a list to take people's gun rights away. Well, what's a medical marijuana registry now but a list for the government to take your gun away?
Fortunately, they don't really have access to it. And the NRA is in a very interesting position. Although, of course, generally, but not exclusively, they're fairly conservative. There's also, I think, a strong libertarian bent to it. And after so many years of taking the position that any restriction on the right to own firearms is bad, short of, we know you're insane, you're a felon still in prison, to overstate the point. Short of that, their position has been any restriction is a problem. And now they're in a spot where I think, this is me making it up, I think they're saying, well, on the one hand, we really don't want to come out as pro-marijuana. That's not the tenor of our membership, as far as we can tell. On the other hand, we can't really come out and say this is a rational restriction on gun ownership that counters everything we've ever stood for. So all we can do is shut up.
Stop digging.
What else can they do?
Good point. Lenny Freeling is a longtime criminal defense attorney, and he's with the normal organizations out there in Colorado. Former judge, speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. If you want wise, learned men and women like Lenny to come out to your area and speak the truth about the drug war, just go to leap.cc. They got a catalog list all across the country and around the world of great speakers who will help you out. Lenny, before we let you go, is there anything else you need to tell us? Shout out, any promotions or contact info?
Russ, I love you, man, and thank you as always. You're my hero. I'm going to give a shout out to My Canary app on the iTunes store at My Canary or mycanaryapp.com for the science paper. We've developed an iPhone iTunes app for not measuring meaningless blood chemistry, but looking at performance, looking at reaction time, looking at things that help us decide if we should be turning on a table saw or driving a car or watching Captain Kangaroo. And let's look at performance and not a chemistry that, in the case of alcohol, is a clue, and in the case of THC, is scientifically not even a clue.
Check out the My Canary app on the App Store. Thanks, Lenny. And again, Lenny Freeling there from Colorado joined us 50 days or 40 days or so ago. And while we were on that interview, I did receive a call from David Lanois, and he offers his apologies. He was hearing the radio feed and didn't realize that was him on hold. So we'll get him rebooked. We'll probably have him on the Thursday before the election. We'll talk about Massachusetts Question 4 and what else is going on up there in New England. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to come back, and I'm going to rant a little bit. This is kind of a potpourri rant. My thoughts on the debate last night and this election in general when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone
of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I want you to be very happy. It's very important to me.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, did you see the debate last night, the third and final debate for the presidency of the United States between Secretary Hillary Clinton and the sexual predator named Trump? And wow, what a debate that was. Lots of fun, lots of stuff coming out of this, and I just wanted to offer my view on a few things. Number one, he had a few things he said that were kind of funny. I mean, Trump said bigly at one point, although somebody was saying on my Twitter feed he was actually saying big league, not bigly. I kind of like bigly. Well, let's stick with that one. He also mentioned that we needed to keep bad hombres. There's some bad hombres that are coming across the border. We need to deal with the bad hombres, which, number one, did mark a historical first. It's the first time, at least as far as I can remember, that Spanish was spoken at a presidential debate. So there's that. And also, like, bad hombres, that's like the name of a mediocre ZZ Top cover band, isn't it? Add them, and then, and what was his other, his big comment when Hillary Clinton was making a dig at him about taxes, he said, such a nasty woman. It makes you want to have the Janet Jackson, ZZ Top, nasty woman, bad hombres tour. I'd pay tickets to see that, man. I'd pay good money for the nasty bad hombres tour. That'd be great. Of course, this is all backfiring for Trump. I mean, he couldn't have done worse as far as trying to cope with the allegations of his improprieties, of his predation, his temperament to be able to be the commander in chief, etc. It was just amazing watching this fall apart. And he kind of looked like he was sedated for like the first half hour or so. For the first half hour, it was like he wasn't interrupting. He was calm. He delivered the messaging that he was trying to deliver. And then as time went on, like, Hillary Clinton really knows how to get under his skin. It was so fun to watch. She just kept needling him all these little points. And then he reverted right back to the bluster, right back to the interruptions, right back to leaning into the microphone and going, wrong, wrong, wrong. Man, if you had to take a shot every time he said wrong, you'd have to go to the hospital. It was just remarkable, and I really enjoyed watching it because it really like eased my mind. I've been worried about this election. I really have, because I'm a student of history, and I know how these right-wing demagogues tend to get elected. right? If you look at the examples of history, Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines, Adolf Hitler in Germany, you can look at a lot of examples where this odious character gets into office because of a combination of, one, people not taking him seriously, not thinking he has a chance in hell, two, denigrating their support as only the support of the deplorables or a small minority of undesirable voters. And then three, because of not taking that threat seriously, the opposition dividing itself among multiple candidates. That's how Hitler came to power. It was a plurality, folks. Same with, Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines. Plurality vote. More people wanted somebody else than that guy. Same thing happened to get Bill Clinton. And again, not to say Bill Clinton's a dictator like Duterte or Hitler, right? But just the point that Clinton got in with 42% of the vote. 58% of the voters wanted something other than Bill Clinton, right? So I've been concerned about this because there's so many people in the cannabis community that have that, oh, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson thing. And so many others that say, oh, there's no difference between the two of them. I hope we could dismiss with that there's no difference between the two of them. At least, no matter how evil you might think Hillary Clinton is, you at least have to give her that she's got experience and competency, right? She at least knows what is in the Constitution, how federal departments run, what the regulatory process is, what nuclear deterrence means, right? You can at least grant her that. So I just wanted to mention that. I also wanted to mention, again, the great work by Tom Angel at marijuana.com, who's unearthed another treasure trove of these Podesta email hacks. And the latest one gives me even more comfort in understanding Hillary Clinton's position on marijuana, because this was a series of emails where they were discussing campaign strategy and how they might deal with Bernie Sanders. And so the campaign strategists came up with all this opposition style research on Bernie Sanders' position on drugs. And they unearthed some quotes of his from like the 70s where he says we should legalize heroin, we should legalize all drugs, legalize marijuana, etc. And so they presented to Hillary Clinton this buffet of attacks that she could use against Bernie Sanders on the drug issue. And she didn't. She didn't at all. Never brought the issue up. Never happened in any of the primaries, any of the primary debates on the campaign trail. Never tried to attack Bernie on his pro-reform stance. Sometimes it's what people don't do that gives you a good idea of what's going on. And in this case, her not using the marijuana attack signals to me that she recognizes the political suicide in doing so. It signals to me that she understands this is one of those third rail issues now that doesn't help you to attack it. And that's a good thing when we're talking about someone like Hillary Clinton, who's a complete poll watching, triangulating, follow the crowd type of politician. That's one thing I definitely count on Hillary Clinton, is that she will switch her position to which way the wind blows. And right now the wind is blowing for legalization. So I'm not too worried about anything in the marijuana regime and in our politics being negatively, severely negatively affected by a Clinton administration. I see it as Obama, third term, turn your back, let it happen, pay no attention to it, that kind of attitude. So again, you can check that stuff out at marijuana.com. It's Tom Angel's been doing some great work out there. We'll talk a little bit more about this. I've been getting some responses to the piece I've got up on weednews.co announcing my third-party write-in candidacy. People are responding to that and my characterization of Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. So we'll address that in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. That's coming up here right after the top of the hour. Phone lines will be open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. We got some other stories to cover as well. Some new scientific inquiry on the endocannabinoid system that's quite fascinating. We've got some ballot shenanigans going on in Florida. Oh, really? Florida? Fucked up ballots? Color me shocked. and plenty more when we come back for the top of the hour. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.